Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. And ladies and gentlemen, right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
We will get to Senior Assassin in just a moment. But before we do, our friend Nick Harris has posted a video, Alec, one that I think that you might like a lot.
Ooh.
I always like to see whenever the Cowboys coaches go attend things. Like, why are they there? What are they looking for?
Sure.
You know, Dan Quinn, we were thinking when it came to Penn State, he was looking at this guy specifically, and then all of a sudden Mike Parsons was the dude he was really interested in. Cowboys defensive line coach Marcus Dixon is working out Clemson defensive tackle Peter Woods at his pro day today.
Oh, you guys talked about him.
We did talk about Peter Woods. That is a lot of these names that we've been discussing, we were looking at for 12 and 20. And I like John Machota, guy we had as a guest yesterday. He's a good guest.
He is a good guest.
Good get on your part, since he won't come on the show when I ask him to, because he hates me.
He said he does not, to me.
What did the Ravens say?
Oh, yeah. They lied.
And you believe?
That's a good
lied
part.
Too? Wow.
I'm sorry. Only they lied.
But Peter Woods was definitely one of those guys that jumped off the screen. And Alec, I think you were higher on Peter Woods than me. Now that I'm watching him do this stuff here at this pro day, he's looking really good. You want to give a real quick recap on Peter Woods?
He's a guy that he played a lot heavier a year ago. He lost a little bit of weight, but gained some twitch and some athleticism at the defensive tackle spot. Quick hands, very violent with his motion. He's not going to get pushed around too much. He won't give you any big sack numbers or anything, but he's always going to be up in the ball carrier's face.
You know, Micah Parsons was on Twitter the other day, and he said violent hands is one of the most important things when scouting guys.
Okay, yeah.
So, like, that, and that's become, I think, Alec, both you and I have been watching the hands and their hand placement, the pop that comes along with it. It's one of the reasons I like Josiah Trotter so much. He plays with violent hands. Peter Woods right now, watching him go through this drill specifically, the agility's really nice. We are looking for, I believe, a left defensive end. It's kind of what we're...
It does feel that way.
You know, so if we're going to lay that down, we're kind of in the Quinnen Williams, Kenny Clark, who else? You know, that's across that 3-4 defensive front. Who else? And Kevin, I don't know if we have this lined up as a conversation tomorrow.
No.
But,
no, good.
But this is, we're trying to figure that out. I have two potential options there right now. Because I think, do you think Peter Woods could play that left defensive end spot pretty easily, Alec? Like, he could just line up there and you'd be very comfortable with the size and the presence in that spot?
Oh, 100%. That would be nice. And, I mean, at this point, there's not many guys that aren't going to fill that void in a way that I don't like, you know? So I guess that's the good thing about having an open spot, a spot that's open that big, is like, even stylistic differences, I'm probably going to say, sure,
yeah,
give it a shot.
And I'm not asking him to step onto the field and take down 7 sacks. I'm asking him to step onto the field and not get pushed around. And I think Peter Woods is that kind of body, so I'm glad they're watching him. I also, probably next week, we will do a deep dive on Caleb Banks.
Whoa.
Because when we're talking about that spot, for this defense, I feel like they want a big body that can stand people up, not get pushed around, and occasionally get loose for a sack. Caleb Banks, I'm really liking what I see here. I really like what I see here. All right, so that's kind of a quick note on some of the Cowboys and draft stuff. Do you have a question, sir?
No, go ahead.
Now, I asked Woolchuck if this was something that he wanted to... Okay, hold on real quick. Alec just sent this to me. Raiders Quay Walker said he was texting to Kobe Dean all day on Monday, and when he told him he was heading to the Raiders, 5 minutes later, he said the same thing. Big thanks to Spy for that, for sure. So,
boo!
So that was definitely the Georgia boys wanted to play together.
Yeah, we could use them, both of them. Yeah, I know the Cowboys probably wouldn't be in the market to make that move, but you could have used them.
It would have been nice. Maybe we can double up with C.J. Allen and Jacob Rodriguez.
Woo! I like that.
All you got to do is get that kicker to be a...
Yeah, don't you guys
picked up
want...
somewhere?
Man, T.J. Bass is the best. Brandon Aubrey is even better.
I would love these...
You should go get them.
These second-round Tinder guys get picked
so
up.
So Evan awesome. By the way, man, that's tough to say with Brandon Aubrey, too, because did you hear his answer when he was like, you know, the Cowboys got a lot going on, so we'll figure it out later? Even his answer about his own free agency is so delightful.
He's so unconcerned.
He's awesome.
He's like, it'll work itself out. Because he's a dude that was like, I was in IT a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And here I am with the potential to make Dak money, you know?
Okay. Maybe.
You never know.
I guess that's true.
If Chris Arnold says it, it's true, Kevin.
That
you
is
never
a
know.
Great point.
So I asked Woolchuck, I was like, hey, man, was this a thing when you were at Plano? And evidently he said no. So my son at the moment is in something called Senior Assassin. Alec, does this ever pop up when you were in high school?
Not at all.
All right.
But not Senior Assassin,
not Senior Assassin, dude. Don't make me laugh too hard right now.
Gotcha. I just wanted a clarification.
I want my back to go out again on me.
Oh.
Because of laughter. So Senior Assassin, Avery says there are 200 students involved.
Oh, okay.
Now, the idea here is all 200 are kind of pitted against each other in some way, shape, or form. I saw this on a show called Greek back in the day, which featured Spencer Grammer, Kelsey Grammer's daughter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, named Spencer. They used Nerf guns. Evidently, the senior assassins at Plano... use water guns.
Okay.
And from the 903, yes, and my son is walking around with goggles on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so here we go. I love this idea, and as long as people play by the rules, it's safe and fun, okay? That's really, like, obviously you have a lot of concerns whenever you get this many people involved and it gets competitive. Things could happen. But the idea is, out of all these 200 people, you want to be the last one to get squirted. With the squirt gun. Water gun, you don't want to be watered. That seems weird. Okay.
Everybody's normally I feel the like, opposite way,
gotcha.
But I gotcha.
But you want to be the last one remaining, the Jason Bourne, if you will.
Mm.
Now, my understanding is all of the people that have paid the money to get involved with this, and it's a very small fee, but you can win all the money at the end.
But is it a winner-take-all?
Yeah, winner-take-all.
Oh!
All the people that are involved in this, they all share their location with whoever starts it and whatnot. And that way, everybody can see where the people are that they have to go track down. Kind of like, you know, an assassin situation. My son last night was out helping out with some things. I'll tell his story in a moment. But one of our friends, she walked out. Evidently, if you wear your glasses or your goggles, you are safe. You can't be shot with a water gun.
Okay.
So she walked out of her house not thinking, I need to put my goggles on while I walk out of my house.
Sure.
And I guess you can't do it on school property, too. That's an important factor.
That probably makes sense, or else... boom! Social studies class has changed!
Yeah, exactly. So she walks out of her house, and all of a sudden, water hits her. And she's like, what? She turns around, and there's a kid on her roof. He waited on her roof.
Oh my goodness.
Which I have already told people, do not get on my roof, because if you damage my roof, it's going to be hell to pay.
Yeah.
My friends at Fraser will take care of me there. Kevin has friends also.
Greystone Roofing, baby. Even their sign didn't get blown over by the wind. I thought that was impressive for whatever reason.
And, you know, around this time of year, Kevin, you're not walking around the school with the guns. Yeah. So, no, they're not walking around the school like that. It is water guns. It's fun. My kid last night, the strategy involved is now what I'm fascinated by, because Avery took a couple of his friends, collected all of their phones, dropped them off near somebody's house.
Oh.
Took all of their phones and drove off, so the person who was about to be, you know, taken down would think that they were all gone and wouldn't know who was supposed to be there.
That's pretty clever.
One of the girls in the group walks up to the door, knocks on the door. The mom answers the door. And she's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I was driving down the street and I just ran into your son's car. Can he come out here and can y'all come out and check it?" And the mom goes, that is, oh my gosh, that's not good at all. But I also understand senior assassins going on right now.
Oh.
Mom saved him, dude. Mom just saved the kid. And so Avery had driven off. So that evidently this kid now thinks that it's Avery that it is his assassin, not one of those other ones in the group, because he saw the phones drive off. So they have tricked the kid. The kid texted Avery and was like, "Dude, once I heard that somebody had hit my car, I was so mad. But then I waited upstairs. My mom told me to wait upstairs, and I did. I'm glad I did." They pulled up behind another car last night, pulled up at Sonic right behind them so they couldn't back out. And the kids in the car cracked their windows and stuck the water guns out of the windows and were like, "Hey, you're not getting us, so y'all might as well leave." And Avery was like, "Yeah, we're not getting them." So they drove off. Again, I'm glad nobody backed into another. Like, again, if somebody's playing by the rules and these water guns all look like, you know, super soakers and stuff like that, it seems like a very fun game if everybody's playing by the rules. It's on a massive scale, though. And that's one thing that I'm kind of like, it's a lot of kids running around this city.
See, I get it, especially now that I know it's winner take all. I'm thinking about that entry fee times the number of people that are doing it. That's a lot of dang money. So,
yeah.
Good luck, kids.
Yeah. Good luck to the kids out there that are playing this game.
Actually, good luck to Avery. I don't know those other kids.
Yeah, thank you.
I hope he wins.
I really do, too, because I'm tired of paying for stuff for him, you know? Hold on.
So is his win going to be a net nothing for him? Because he's going to win, and Corey's just going to be like, "Good, now it seems like you can pay for all your own stuff."
Yeah, now you can pay for your gas again.
Oh, man.
Here is what happened, though, to Avery. He is still in the game. He was at the library.
Do you have any idea how many people are left? I don't know if you, like...
112.
Okay.
So in like, oh, since Monday is when I believe when it started.
Okay.
And a lot of people are saying pointing toy guns outside in public, outside windows of cars, are a really stupid idea. Okay, I understand if you feel this way. I wouldn't get his water gun confused with a real gun.
Right.
By any means, right. But I understand how you feel about this. And it's supposed to be fun. Hopefully it is fun for people. I'm sorry if you're offended by it. We've kind of talked it through with Avery, and he's having fun in the game, too. He was sitting at the library, and he looked out the window, and there were two people standing at the window staring at him.
Oh, no.
And that's where I was like, "What? Oh, man." Evidently, they walked off and then came back later. They walked inside the library, and as he saw him walking in, he put his goggles on. And they went, "Well, he's wearing goggles," and walked off. So now he knows who's after him. So he's like, okay.
Oh,
so again, this is the part of the strategy
that
I'm very interested in, because they're playing games with people out here, collecting phones and driving off and having fun with it. And one of my friends just said, "My son made it to the top eight." A year ago. I got to make sure I'm seeing this. He said he got hit at 6 a.m. in the morning at the gym. He got sweaty and took his goggles off and got hit.
And the amount of discipline some of these kids are displaying by just like camping out, like you're playing old school GoldenEye, just waiting for that kid to take their goggles off to shoot them with a water gun. That's crazy.
And again, it does seem, and that's our friend Royal from Wild Fork. It does seem like they're having fun. The kids that are all playing it seem to be having fun. I'm hoping that that's just the way that it is. They do have fun their senior year. Everybody stays safe.
Right.
And Avery gets lots of money. But, Kevin, again, when it comes to strategy...
that you're not going to enjoy because your dad's going to drop the hammer on you.
I feel like what we need to do now is we need to start collecting strategies. And for all the kids in the future years that are going to be doing stuff like this...
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
You know?
I also wonder,
strategies.
You haven't revealed too much of Avery's strategy, right?
He's revealed a lot to me.
Okay, so you've shown...
They're pretty impressive,
okay,
dude.
Okay, I mean, the phone thing is really impressive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So there you go.
Man.
Be aware of your surroundings.
Fascinating.
While you're out there, kids.
I had never heard of that before today. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, if you could take batting practice at any MLB stadium, which one would you choose? Plus, I got some more Rangers news of the day next right here on The Fan.
And he swings and he blasts one to deep right. That'll get helped by the wind. That's way back, and that ball is history. Way up on the berm. A wind-aided three-run Jimmy Jack for Jake Berger. Make it 4-0 Texas, four batters into the ballgame.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I got some more Rangers news to go ahead and roll through. But I was thinking about this, and I kind of constructed my list, Corey, based off of we were in spring training. We got to see a lot of fun batting practice when we were out there. We got to see the Rangers. We got to see the Royals. We got to see Team Cuba. We got to see Team Brazil. So I wanted to ask everybody out there, for you specifically, if you could pick and you get to take batting practice at any Major League Baseball stadium, which one would you choose? 877-881-1053. Now, while people ponder that, while you... ponder that. There was another thing I wanted to hit. The Rangers had an off day yesterday, but Evan Grant came out with an article that said the revamped offensive approach Chris Young has him breathing a little easier this time around as opposed to a year ago. And one of the things that CY came out and said was, what I'm seeing is much more of a 9-1 or a 13-1 mentality. So a lot more unity from some of the players, obviously, especially in the offensive front. I think we all feel more comfortably defensively, although you've got really high standards to live up to match last year. You're coming off a season where you were just horrid across the board in offense. The Rangers had 8 first innings last year of 3 runs or more out of 162. So that means maybe once every 20 games, you'd put up one of those crooked numbers in the inning. And they were 22nd in runs, 26th in OPS. Just dreadful. I know I'm not breaking any news to you. But early in spring training, the Rangers feel like they're seeing better swings or fewer swings at pitches outside the zone.
Good.
That's down 25% this spring training. In terms of swing and miss, their swing and miss rate is down 5%. It probably won't surprise you to know that that also means the strikeout rate is down 5% year over year. Last year, they were slugging at 440. In the regular season, fell to 404. This spring, 456. So we've talked about it. You have to be careful weighing the importance of some stats for some players versus other stats for other players. But as a team, does it make you feel any better that the chase rate, the swing and miss rate is down? Mm-hmm. Or are you like, hey, that's great for spring training?
The discipline the last couple of years was atrocious.
Agreed.
The discipline during their World Series run was the best I've ever seen at all. And so much so that that's one of the things that I loved about talking to Mike about former hitters he was teammates with, like Piazza, and how that they their approach. The approach is to the plate, and I know, like, some when I was a kid, I used to think the approach to the plate was how I walked up to the plate, and I was like, that's not an approach.
Right.
Like, what are you thinking? What are you trying to force a pitcher to do? And by not swinging garbage, you make the strike zone smaller. And you're like, hold on, what do you mean? No, you make this, you start with the strike zone being the size of a fist, and it's center inside. What you can hit. Well, you know you can drive. I'm not swinging at anything until it's there. All right? So they get one on the outside corner. Well, now I have to expand the strike zone just a little bit. And then whenever I have two strikes, I have to expand it a lot. The Rangers did that so well in the World Series run, and they forced pitchers into mistakes all the time because they were able to pick pitches that they could drive the crap out of. And they did. Well, the last couple of years, they haven't done that. I hope they can get back into that, creating that discipline in the clubhouse. When you win a World Series in your first year, you're just like, the talent will do itself.
Yeah.
And it just never came back. So that's what I'm hoping is the case with this group, is they get back to that point where they just force pitchers not only into that, but Kevin, you're talking about crooked numbers in the first inning. You get Nemo on, who you know is a hustler.
Yes.
And you get Wyatt on, you're going to create more of these opportunities for Corey Seager to do what we've seen him do already a little bit here. And those runners on base, when I talk about creating pressure, just the simple idea that I have to pitch differently to Corey Seager because I have two runners on makes me miss in an area that Corey Seager is going to crush, or makes me throw a pitch that I don't want to pitch, but I have to because I have runners on it. And if I don't keep it up in the zone, it could be on the ground and it could be behind, you know, it hit the backstop and now runners at third and second instead of first and second. Like, all these scenarios, the Rangers can put pressure by being good at the top of the order early.
I realize that things can change in the baseball season every single game, but is there a point in the season, maybe end of May, I don't know, where you'll be like, okay, I feel comfortable that the offense is back. Assuming they were like came out swinging and looking good.
Yeah, I'll believe it in early May.
Okay.
Seven innings in, Kevin. Just give me seven innings. I'll let you know.
All right, so if it's 10-4, you'll be like, we got this. Well, you'll be like, I wish that four was a zero.
Yeah, but something ridiculous like that.
All right, so a lot of answers already. Leading the pack, it feels like it's Fenway and Wrigley from the 972 Fenway, or Wrigley from the 682 Fenway, so I can hit it at the Green Monster. Somebody said Houston, so they can get trash cans and know what pitch is coming, which is that's not bad. But it feels like Fenway and Wrigley by far are leading the pack. I have a top six,
okay,
but I would love to know your answer.
Mine's easily Fenway. The ability to hit one over that wall and just kind of watch that. It's a shorter left field porch and everything, but like, you got to get under it just a little bit more. Like, it's a little bit different approach hitting one out of there. That's my number one. The next one would probably be Dodger Stadium, just because of how beautiful and old that stadium is.
Okay.
Didn't we say it's like the third oldest stadium in all of baseball or something like that?
And man, you want to talk about the size of the stadiums? It feels like Dodger Stadium is twice as big as Fenway.
Yeah.
You might think that sounds ridiculous. Go check them both out.
Dude, if I was a lefty, Camden Yards would be an awesome one.
That is one of my top six.
I am not a lefty, so. And I can understand how a left-handed hitter wouldn't care about Fenway either.
Yes. Yeah, you got to think right-handed.
Yeah.
So I put Fenway first and then Wrigley second, just because, I mean, like you said, to go after the Green Monster, to be able to hit in iconic places like that. After that, I have not been to the third one or the fifth one on my list, but they look unbelievable. And I know you've been to one of them. Coors Field.
Coors Field's awesome.
I think it would be third, because first of all, it looks cool, but also I don't want the humidifier balls, all right? Give me those regular baseballs, and let's see. I'm not saying I could hit it that far, but I want to hit it further than I would otherwise.
They have like a forest in center field, too.
It looks unbelievable.
I want to hit one into the forest out there.
Number four, I said PNC. That park is gorgeous in Pittsburgh. I would love that. Oracle in San Francisco. That's another one where I can see the left-handed appeal if you want to shoot
one in
for,
McCovey Cove,
yeah,
dude.
Exactly.
Being able to hit one into McCovey Cove would be, like, that's a dream.
Would you rather do that or hit it over the Green Monster?
I mean, if I was a left-hander, I'm a switch hitter. Let's say I switch hit, Kevin. I want
lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
I hit one into the cove.
Okay. See, because I think I would pick Over the Green Monster, but both are really cool.
Yeah. I just want to watch all those dudes in the kayaks fight each other out in the water.
Alex,
safely, obviously.
Would you go out in a kayak and try to get Corey's home run ball from batting practice?
Ooh, are you giving me like a finder's fee for it? Because
$100.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing it. Yeah, $100 is $100.
I went too high.
Does the price go up if you have to jump out of the kayak and race somebody to it?
Yes, double the rate.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's extra calories burned that I already had, you know, set aside for the workout later
Alec,
in the day.
I'm going to tell you right now, Corey's home run ball, whoever's, if you find yourself in San Francisco and there is any video of this anywhere, I don't care if it's ESPN, MLB Network, or somebody's phone, if you are in a kayak and you race somebody to go get the ball and go in the water, I will gladly give you $200 for that.
Okay, so it sounds like this summer I'm planning a trip. If you see me take a week off.
I am dead serious.
You should drive that price up just a little bit here, because you got to think, kayak rental is probably $75. We've been to San Francisco. It's expensive.
I have no idea how much it costs to rent a kayak. That's
I'm not
a
worried
fair
about
point.
The plane ticket, because that's just part of, you know, going on vacation.
Your expenses are negotiable.
Okay.
If you come away with the baseball, your expenses are definitely negotiable.
This is going to happen.
Oh, yeah. I look, the baseball and some sort of video evidence. That's all I'm looking for. All right.
He's putting his phone in one of those baggies.
Look,
I love it.
I'm here for it. We can make that happen. And then Camden Yards was number six on my list. Absolutely. I think that you are spot on about that. Now, multiple people have said, and this is in play now since we saw the game there, the Field of Dream field in Iowa.
Dude, why have they not done Field of Dream at the Sandlot field? Not Sandlot.
I understand.
Jared's, but the like
oh,
the movie.
Feels like a thing.
Like that movie is awesome.
Yeah, that's a good question.
And I mean, even having a dog out there in the outfield that would eat the baseballs would be awesome too. Yeah, to be able to hit one into the cornfields would be a dream come true.
Yeah,
that would be a field of dreams.
That's true. That kid thought it was Baby Ruth.
What a dummy.
Oh, man, but
that's why he got arrested.
That was Benny the Jet. I'm pretty sure
the other one got arrested too.
Oh no, he did.
I think so.
Man,
I think. Hold on.
I don't want to know that. All right, I guess I do kind of want to know that. All right, and then another thing that I want you to keep an eye out on: Josh Young.
He threw a dumbbell at a car.
Oh, well, that's. You know, that's never going to work.
Oh, that's Smalls. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he threw a dumbbell
okay,
at a car.
Okay, well, look, that's too much information for today about
Benny
a beloved
the Jet,
movie.
Well, he was arrested in 15 for a Halloween assault.
Yeah. So, look, you know what?
Don't throw dumbbells
Watch
at cars.
The movies. Enjoy them. Don't look up what the kid actors
He was also arrested
He was in a Ponzi scheme
a
or something.
Houston airport,
oh, okay,
too.
That's what I thought. So Josh Young is not in the lineup today. Remember we talked about yesterday or the day before, hopeful that Josh Young could be back out there. Evan Grant says Josh Young is not in the lineup today. He's already missed more than 2 weeks worth of games with that strained abductor muscle in his thigh. And so you go back, you were hoping it would be 10 days. Now, Skip Schumacher was asked about Josh Young's availability for opening day. And he says he remains optimistic. That's 2 weeks away. We were hoping he would be back today. And in 2 weeks, he goes, I'm optimistic he'll be ready.
Yeah, two things here, Kevin. A, you can be optimistic about it, but also have a backup plan in order.
Yeah, we better.
B, one of these utility players is going to be playing a lot of third base this year.
Yeah, I think you were probably right about that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation and make sure Broadus knows this isn't our fault. Next, right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. There has been a new record set for the most expensive modern baseball card. It was held previously by the Bowman Chrome Draft Prospects Superfractor, i.e. one of one, of Mike Trout, which sold for $3.936 million. But a Bowman Chrome Draft Superfractor, one of one, autographed by Aaron Judge, just sold for $5.2 million. The most expensive Aaron Judge card ever by a lot. The previous high was $324,000.
Whoa.
So it went up almost 16 times, and it is the most expensive modern baseball card ever sold. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Feeling like a superfractor, Hagee. How about you?
I love it. And that is, Alec got a superfractor at the last Dallas Card Show, one-of-one WWE card. We'll be there tomorrow. Will, Corey, I'm going to start with you. Will Bobby Belt be alive in 24 hours?
I don't think so. I told him this morning, this has to stop today.
With the wrong dude.
I can't do this anymore for me, like my own personal feelings.
Yeah.
I love a good bit, but I think he's gone too far with this one.
You start leaving bloodied Band-Aids at your workstation?
It is that time of month for Bob.
Hell has no fury, right, as they say?
And who knows where that blood came from on his body?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Workplace violation.
Might have been RJ's.
Spittle, if you're listening, that's a bloodied Band-Aid at my workstation.
I think he's taunting you about the old marathon nipple days.
Nipple days, yeah. I just let him straight bleed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's aggressive, dude. I thought it was just spilling coffee and
he's got
a loogie over there.
There's all kinds of sticky stuff on here, too, that we had to deal with this morning. So
sticky stuff.
Robert, if you're listening, bro.
Like bodily fluids?
Yeah.
Bodily fluids?
Is that what the sticky stuff is?
That's next level, bro.
I just assume I had to use two or three of those wipe things to try and get them up.
Oh, no.
I mean, you take like a Room Raiders black light to this room right now?
Oh, gosh.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. One of the things we had to make sure there was more eggshell out.
Oh, my gosh.
It was more so bad. We were like, Bobby, you got to help us out a little
here. The bloody Band-Aid is one thing, but the eggshells are just a bridge too far.
The orange peel was all over the place.
Yeah, dude. I don't know.
It's okay.
You seem to think the orange peel made it smell better. He kept looking at Corey going, smell this.
I was like, no.
It's nice.
No, thanks.
It's a shame that their show was going to suffer from that. That whole show was going to suffer. That whole show. You know, Pepe, all of them.
Pepe.
They're dealing with a guy that gets up way early in the morning.
Oh, how early do you normally get up?
About 5:30. So, yeah, I just, you know, hey, I'm going to see you park where you're at. Just be ready.
Gonna be camping out.
Just be ready. Yeah, it's not going to be pretty, boys. Sorry you did that to your guys, Bobby. And Sean, RJ, just hope you guys have AAA. to help this out.
AAA is clutch.
Yeah, right. If you don't have AAA, you might want to get AAA. Mm-hmm. Just go ahead and make the investment right now.
We told you this morning, Bobby, when you said, but is he really mad? And we said, yeah. Yes. He is really mad.
I am serious about my workspace.
He started Googling how to cut brake lines. And I was like, that seems dangerous.
I'm just telling you, you better get AAA, Robert. That's all I'm going to say.
When he starts dropping sea suckers on you, you know, okay, he is really, really up there.
Just I hope those guys don't have to be somewhere after work. You know, I just hope. Just hope Sean doesn't have an appointment with his kids.
Right.
You know, RJ trying to get home to get him some, you know, that kind of thing.
I do think Sean's been the most anti of what Bobby's doing here. Like, just
I don't
from
know if
what
that's
I've gathered. It doesn't sound like it's going to help, like guilty by association.
Yeah, it's just the whole show. And Pepe, you're involved too, if you're listening as well.
Jeez.
They're all involved.
Eric, of all the people to not piss off at the station, would you probably have already had brought us number one?
100%.
I wouldn't piss off Fred.
I can see that.
I think Fred's got
some... Fred would just end up in jail.
Fred's got some psycho tendencies to him.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I wouldn't... I've been working with him for a while.
Yeah.
That definitely would be a... I can see him just kind of going nuts, because there were times where I didn't know what to think. You know, I just was like...
Mm-hmm. They caught me on a bad day, because I was in a dentist chair for 4.5 hours this morning.
Oh no.
And this all started in the recent weeks with you complaining about how messy they leave their workstation.
Absolutely.
So now they're tripling down on the mess.
Yeah, absolutely. Which affects all of us, you know, with cups and run sheets and... all kinds of crap laying around.
Tell corporate on them.
Just pick up after yourselves.
We're not playing around.
He said this morning, he said, it's like whenever your dad catches you smoking cigarettes, you just smoke more cigarettes.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to do to Broadus right now.
Smoke more.
He's like, you know what? You complain about trash. I'm going to triple down on the trash.
Like the King of the Hill episode?
Yeah.
No, the bloody Band-Aid's what's got me today.
That's pretty ridiculous.
That's gross.
That is, like I say, something will happen from this. Something will happen, and it won't be good for them. It won't.
You know, one of my kids ate a Band-Aid at the Memphis Zoo.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What?
About
ate
that.
A Band-Aid?
Like off the ground?
Yeah, I picked it up. We were like, what's in your... Oh, my God.
That kid was 17 years
old.
He
is graduating from high school this year.
Now, I think he's happy. Yeah.
We never got him tested after that either.
Oh, man.
He also ate a cigarette butt off the ground, too. So
I drank one of those before on accident.
Yeah,
my dad
was
ashing. Yeah, in a Coke can.
It feels like the Band-Aid's worse. I don't know. I guess they're both
Band-Aid's
bad.
Disgusting.
The Band-Aid's worse,
no
right?
Clue who was wearing that Band-Aid? Why?
I don't think people fully understand, if you don't have any kids, how gross kids are. Like, they're just complete lack of interest about the snot coming out of their nose and it impacting what they're doing. And you're just like, stop
it! And they'll just stick their tongue up there and be like, I stopped it up.
Ugh.
The amount of times I'll see, like, 4 fingers in their own mouth at one time. Just like, why are you chewing on your entire hand
right now?
You're
just digging
in
the backyard.
Do you even...
They shove a foot in their mouth.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, you just found your foot for the first time? Stop it!
And by the way, babies look stoned when they discover their hand for the first time, right? I'm not saying they are, Corey. I'm just saying when they look and they're like...
What is this?
Oh, that's mine.
What can I do with this?
Let me taste it.
And he's like, hold on, I'm doing that. The thing, I remember the first time, it's not when Noah figured out he had a hand, it's when he figured out he had two. And he looked over and then he was like, and he did that double take.
That's
like,
awesome.
What? I can control this one too. But you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
They just stare at their hand and they're like, this is so significant.
I have the power.
Yes, it is freaking crazy.
Germs build immunity from the 972, so maybe that Band-Aid keeps Avery from, you know.
Could be.
Whatever it is in the future.
Okay.
Maybe it's a positive.
And then if you cared about such things, Miami of Ohio, they were 31-0. They lost in the quarterfinals of the MAC championship. So I'm sure Bruce Pearl will be out there any minute now saying this is why they don't belong to be in the to be in the tournament. He thinks they don't even belong in the tournament.
Oh, boys, what in the name of Wally Szczerbiak is going on out here?
Yes, thank you very much.
He believes in Kempom. They're not.
Man, they do not look good in the Ken Palm, do they?
All right. It's Ken Palm season right now.
It is. Do you love, it feels, at least draft is like extended out throughout the year where you always care about these people, but I feel like Joe Lunardi, the Ken Palm system, this is like the two-week window where they are the go-to sports people, right?
100%. Yeah, this is their... 2 weeks out of 52 where they're actually sort of appointment television.
Absolutely.
Earn all their money right here.
Pretty much. Like, this is their Christmas season or however you want to put it.
This is tax season for the accountant.
You guys follow basketball pretty extensively. Can't you just tell who the four in and the four out are just watching them play?
Yes. And that's
why we need Joe Lunardi to tell us that.
I don't feel like you do, but also the aftermath when people are like, "I can't believe we got snubbed,"
and then we got this Dayton play-in game thing that we're working on.
I hate the play-in.
I do too. They might get rid of that.
64.
What are we doing? So we really don't need Joe Lunardi. If you're a college basketball fan, you know who's in and out.
Yeah, you need to know what Andy Katz has to say about it.
Always. Do you remember that the boldness that first year where they said they have now advanced to the second round because they won that first four game, and I was like, no.
No,
and they're like opening the tournament with rounds two and three, and I was like, what are you doing? Tuesday and Wednesday don't count as round one.
They had it perfect.
They did!
Yeah.
And some people wanted even more.
They got greedy.
They did. What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, Haggy, thanks for asking. We will have a double guest Thursday set up for you with John Mishota at 3 o'clock and David Hellman at 4.
Awesome. Are we trying to do the bit? I wrote down all the questions you asked yesterday.
I think you should.
All will be forgiven from Kevin.
Oh, it's not forgiven on my end.
What did I do?
I'm never getting that paper
back. Is this because of the unicorn?
No, it's the paper situation.
And the unicorn.
Yeah. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation.
My kids never
forgetting
that.
Our station kind
of
hates each other here.
You guys.
It's all love. I love you too, but the darn unicorn created an issue.
I didn't do it on purpose, I promise. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. Remember,
so much for this clubhouse.
Tomorrow, Dallas Card Show.
Which I
hate. In Allen. We'll see you there. 10 to 2 right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.